I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Man, I love, I for whatever reason, I'm thinking of this guy's Namorama videos. When he says his name, he kind of has a nice, fun little gesture. But also, I remember distinctly a workout where I think it was maybe you and I and Mufasa that came up with this exercise called the scissor, like the scissor split squat or something. But man, I've just had a lot of fun with you out there in the gloom. And so I've got Muffs on with me today. And Muffs, if you would just maybe take us back to kind of that the beginning, that EH story, who EH'd you, what was the first workout like? And then talk to us about how'd you get the name Muffs?
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, I appreciate you doing this. Golly, I forgot about the whole exercise naming. That's funny. So I was sitting in my house over the long winter, as they all are for me, a couple of years ago, and Rowdy and I had actually become, I don't know, probably just more like acquaintances. That was through our high school wrestling for Millard South. My son-in-law is the head coach, and he's an assistant coach on the team. And I was kind of newer to Twitter and finding videos and people to follow and communicate with and fun stuff like that. But anyways, I kept seeing him post these goofy videos with, you know, dudes going around in a circle with icicles hanging out of their nose and beards and whatever else. And I was intrigued enough to actually reach out to him. I hadn't really ever communicated with him other than just some, hey, how you doing from across the room. And so I reached out to him. I said, hey, I see these videos. What are you weirdos doing? And he said, I tell you what, man, why don't you come out and I'll show you what it's all about. And I said, it sounds horrible. And that was just it. And he said, hey, we're actually at Millard South on Wednesday. Why don't you come on out? And so, you know, and this is in April. And as the timing of it was, you know, it just made sense that I would just go and check it out. So April 6th was my first day out. I remember that because it's actually my wife's birthday. And so I went out on April 6th to main stage. Yeah. And I had no idea what to expect. Again, he didn't give me much information. He just said, come on out. It's just a bunch of guys having fun. So I hear guys have fun and I'm always in. So that's what we did. And I'll be honest, Plague, it was the worst hour of my life. I couldn't remember. One, it was cold and I hate being cold. Two, it was dark and I hate cold and dark. Those are just two things in my life and challenges I've had to overcome. And it was so fun. And it was so fun that I had to call one of my good friends to tell him about it and encourage him to join too, which was Limu. So
nice.
I remember after the workout, all the guys came up, hey, thanks for coming out. Let's go get a coffee. And I am literally sitting in my car and I just looked at, I was like, you guys are crazy. I can't even move my body right now. And so I drove home and from main stage to my house, it's a whole mile. And I sat in my car in my garage And my wife finally came in to the garage. So what are you doing? I said, I can't, I don't think I can move. This is terrible. And she just looked at me and she's like, you're pathetic. And I was like, yes, I know. So that's my first workout. It was on a Wednesday. It was absolutely horrible. Something obviously I knew I needed because it was so bad. And I felt so bad aching wise. I was like, golly, man, how out of shape and fat am I? So that was my first workout. Yes, about how I got my name. I have no idea. I don't remember who it was because, you know, your first time, you're just kind of nervous and you're trying to learn language and what all these terminologies mean. And then they throw you into a circle of these dudes looking at you and telling jokes and ribbing you and you don't even know them. And, you know, I was running or wearing that day these running earmuffs because I hate being cold. And you know, as creative as guys can be at 5 o'clock in the morning by that time, out of tell them all these great stories about, you know, bad moments in Cancun, things like that. You know, somebody in all of their originality came up with muffs. I think it was probably originally earmuffs or something, but dropped to muffs. And there's some controversy if it was muff or muffs, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah. It is funny, the naming and, you know, it's like you're delirious, right? And you don't know what's going on. You're trying to tell them stories and then who knows what everybody else is feeling like. And then we just throw out a name and now you're muffs, right?
That's right. yeah.
When you say the workout was really hard, I'm guessing, you know, combo, because, you know, sometimes when I'll get home in the wintertime, my hands are like still kind of numb because it was so cold, but from just like a physical fitness standpoint, sounds like was a good workout. Do you remember who was leading it all?
I don't. I honestly don't. I've thought about that. It was hard because I hadn't done anything like that in years. And, you know, work out physically or anything like that. And so for me, it was hard because one, I felt kind of humbled. You know, I just remember doing the side straddle hops and thinking, holy cow, why am I winded after 10 of these things? This is embarrassing, you know, in high school you could do them all day. And so just, it's very humbling that way. And then just to recognize, gosh, how far I've fallen from, you know, being in shape.
Yeah. Well, and talk us through, cause it sounds like, so you wrestled in high school, like what was kind of your exposure to exercise or physical activity up to this point in life?
Well, yeah, actually, I did not wrestle. My son-in-law is the head wrestling coach at Millard South, so that's why I'm tied to wrestling.
Oh, that's great.
But I grew up in small town Iowa, and when you grow up in small town USA, I mean, you just tend to you play every sport. You know, I had a graduating class of like 40 kids, and so you know, you go from football season in the fall to basketball season, and then that would go into track, and then in Iowa, we played baseball in the summer. And so there was always something of a sport to go on and play and do. And, you know, and then you graduate and you start doing school and working and, you know, I played some pickup basketball leagues every now and then, but just never really dedicated myself to working out. And then life starts and you're with family and you're doing adult things and, you know, suddenly you're not first anymore. And you kind of put yourself and that's kind of been one of the things is I look back and I realize, you know, as busy leaders in a household, you kind of tend to put your health at the backside because you're more interested and worried about everybody else being better. So, that was one thing that I've taken from this so far.
Yeah. Well, and I love, you know, I think a lot of guys get to that point where they're like, that was terrible. But then you kind of took it, the route you went was that was terrible. And that's how I know I need more of it. Talk us through that. What, like, how long did it take before you got back out there? What was your second?
Brother. Yeah. Like? I knew right away Thursday was not happening. And then, but what was funny is by Friday, I didn't go on Friday either. And I thought, man, I should have really gone today. And that's when I reached out to Limu. And actually, you know what? I take that back. I think I reached out to him maybe even Wednesday that day, or for sure Thursday. I reached out to him and said, dude, I just did the most horrible thing to my body. But I think I like it and you need to do it too. And he's like, you know, sign me up, because I sold it really well. And So he and I are sitting there. And so we had been, poor guy, gosh, he, that's why he doesn't trust me for anything. So we're sitting there. We had decided that we're going to go on Monday. And Limu and I, so his first time is going to be Monday. It's going to be my second time. And we don't know any of the vernacular. And we're kind of, I'm looking at all these Twitter accounts talking about F3 and everybody's posting. And we see that on Monday at Red Wings, there's a workout and it's called a Murph. And he and I are talking Sunday night. And I said, dude, I don't know. We need to reconsider this, because from what I understand in F3 at this point, if it's got a name, it's probably not good for us. And emotionally, you know, and mentally, we had already committed, well, we're doing Monday. We're doing Monday, and it's going to be Red Wings, because that was closest to his house. So we showed up to this Murph thing on a Monday, and Limu and I got introduced together to what that meant. And it was even worse than my Wednesday workout at Main Stage, something I'd never thought we would ever struggle to do, but glad we did it together. And then we actually lucked out that day also, because Cheap Seats was there, and we've known him for years from the insurance industry. And he became our biggest cheerleader that day, and really helped us. One, he helped us modify, which is a word and term that we've learned to understand and probably have defined and redefined many times. But that was really helpful to us, because I think had it not been for Cheap Seats that day, one, I don't think Limu would have been as interested in coming back on another workout. But two, I think we both would have probably went home and cried ourselves to sleep, because we would have somehow struggled through that workout and really thought we didn't belong at something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting you mentioned that, right? It's so helpful to have somebody that is cheering you on through those modifications, you know, cause it's, I mean, you know, a lot of us, right, we're just showing up, you know, it's not our first rodeo, and you kind of forget that, like, you know, if this is your first time or your first Murph, you kind of think like, oh my gosh, are these guys really doing 100 right. pull-ups and 20, you know, and then you don't really look around, right? But if you do look around, you kind of notice like, okay, well, you know, half of us are modifying, and you know,
that's right.
And so I love that Cheap Seats was there to help you with that.
We too, and that kind of helped us, you know, with understanding about, picking up the six.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would love to hear too, just kind of your journey. Cause you go to Main Stage, then you do a Murph. How did you kind of navigate? I think that's a challenge maybe for new guys that we don't always realize is like, you can't always tell what you're going to walk into with just looking at Twitter or at a pre-blast but did you kind of find your groove, or did you go to running sites and weight sites and coupon sites? Like, did you try them all before you kind of settled on a routine?
Yeah, absolutely not. So for me, I reached out to Rowdy, and I really was looking for some guidance from him. And he's, you know, and he's trying to help me understand the lexicon and the language and how the website reads and how you can find out locations and if you want to stay closer to you or not. But then also understanding how to review the pre-blast, which, you know, comes out the night before on Twitter. And that's helpful to a point, but until you get to know the guys, you don't know what kind of leader that guy is or what his typical beatdown looks like. So I relied heavily on Rowdy there for the first, you know, probably months. I mean, 2 or 3 or 4 months, just to kind of follow him around. Where are you going tomorrow? Are you going tomorrow? And that was really helpful for me to have somebody to just kind of help guide me to. And then I kind of found the workouts that I was more interested in. I'm not a big runner. I honestly don't strive to be. And that's okay in F3. Yeah. So, you know, I don't show up for a lot of pre-runs. Every once in a while, I'll get a wild hair and show up. But, you know, you can kind of start figuring out leader is going to be more upfronting. And now that you understand the language, you can kind of hear what their pre-blast is saying too.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I like that. It makes me wonder, how do we do a better job of that, for new guys coming in, just providing that sort of pathway because there's stuff on the website there, but to your point, you don't really know on Twitter that I'm going to probably do a bunch of burpees in my workout. Right.
Right.
He seems like a nice guy. I like the plague, but you may not know. So you got to have somebody kind of help guide you a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's been the blessing. It's, when Cheap Seats, and even though, he didn't understand maybe the value that he had on Limu and I that morning on our MRF on that Monday, the value was helping us understand that we weren't going to have to do it alone and figure it out alone. That whole picking up the six thing, that really became important to me and has become important to me in my F3 journey. I always try to make somebody, a new guy, I want to make them feel welcome. I want to recognize them if I'm at the workouts or if they're at my workouts. I want to recognize them and I want them to know that it's going to be terrible today because they're not going to know the language and that's okay. So just reassuring them that we've all been there. We all have to start somewhere and they started today. And so, you'll see me at most workouts. I'm always in the six. I'll hang out in the back. I want to see everybody in front of me. It's just kind of my personality in life anyways. I'd rather know everybody's coming up in front of me instead of somebody's being left behind in the back. That's just who I am, I guess, by nature. And so that was important for us to have Cheap Seats do that. And so I've carried that on to my F3 legacy as well.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and we'll get into kind of how you applied that at Coronado as well here a little bit later, but I want to get your thoughts too then on the kind of that, you start getting acclimated to the language and the workouts, kind of that first step thing, but how did you start sort of building relationships or kind of come out of your shell to develop on that kind of second F or fellowship side?
Yeah, that's going to coffee is very important. And I'm in sales, I'm in an industry where I'm always talking to people anyway. So networking is just natural for me. One, because I'm genuinely interested in other people. When I'm networking, I'm not networking just to see if there's any opportunity for a sale. I'm networking because I really want to know about who people are. I may not have a product or something that they want or need, but they may have something that I know of somebody else who needs something that they have. Mm-hmm. And so that's always, I'm always about connections and building bridges. Some people just don't know others. And I love being that conduit. And that's just kind of, I don't know why I'm that way. I don't know why I'm wired that way. I just like helping people find solutions to whatever it is that problem is that they're currently facing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to agree. What's interesting too is I think there's a certain layer. Maybe layer is not the right word, but if a guy's showing up to F3, at least for me, I kind of know or expect that there's a certain commonality that we share, right? We're at least crazy enough to get up early and show up to this outdoor workout group, right? And so then starting with some of that common ground, I think it just kind of makes you more curious, right, about what else, what else is going on in their life and their day to day. And I will say the number of times that I showed up, not really expecting, anything extraordinary, and I leave like just mind blown with something that I learned about somebody else or something that somebody else is doing or going through, so I think you're, to your point, you gotta truly care. And that makes a huge difference. I've never really been good at sales cause I can't close. I don't think is my, is my struggle there, but,
well, that's the whole part of it. You're not supposed to deal. If you're selling. Yeah. If you're selling, you don't need to be a closer. Your product and you should be enough that they just feel like whatever it is you're trying to talk about makes sense.
There you go. We'll have to have another call on that sometime and get to sales advice from Muffs. No, you know, it's Muffs. Something that is interesting to me is we probably, like, the number of times that I'm like looking for help with something and I'm like, man, I wish I knew if somebody in F3 did this, right? Because I would start there. Like, I would start with an F3 buddy that, you know, was a contractor or a, you know, whatever, instead of Googling. I don't know. Maybe someday we'll get a database of that in PaxNet or something.
PaxNet would be perfect, right? I mean, it's already built. So then you just put in your industry or whatever. And yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I just, you know, because my experience has been just the trust, right, that I have with an F3 guy to come to my house and do something or to help me solve a problem. You know, you just, you already have that built. I ran into that with HVAC stuff and had a couple companies that screwed us over and then had a great experience with Flying V as an HVAC company. And they've been awesome to work with. But anyway, I am curious, you know, as you think about like that second F piece, because I remember, you know, working out around you or near you. And I had kind of perceived you maybe as a quieter guy. And then we had that workout at Mission Forge where we came up with that. And I just remember leaving thinking like, man, Muffs is a really funny guy. Like, I don't know that I knew him that way, but I don't know. Do you feel like, how did things progress to where you got really comfortable with the group?
Yeah. Definitely not a morning person. So there are times where it does take me a minute to warm up. And then, yeah, you get around somebody like Mufasa, who's just always, his banter just never stops. And it's loud banter and it's snarky and he's always got a comment about anything. And so for me, I am attracted to entertainment like that. And so that draws me out fairly quickly. And you know, when you have people like that, it does let you know. I mean, for me, this is a safe space. This is still just dudes being dudes. You know, you have people like Mufasa that are reminders and constant reminders of that. And so I love that. I miss that. I miss that with my brothers. I miss that with my friends that I grew up with, just that back and forth banter, which is why Limu and I are such great friends, I think, because we have that brotherly banter. You know, gosh, we work together. We work out together. And so, you know, that's what F3 does. And it just allows for me to bring that out. In a morning, at the worst time of day for me.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, and I love just, you know, you start your day that way. I do think we're, at least myself, you know, I'm pushed to be serious maybe more often than I should be, or at least I, you know, and so then I think I need other guys like that are having a good time to just help me not take myself so seriously all the time. You know, it's just, that's right. It's such a helpful thing to just, like, you know, and I'll never forget, it was I actually think they did it was like a partner Rosalita split squat, some sort of thing. I can't remember what he called it, but I know it's been done twice. We did it at the block party shovel pass, and it was I remember coming up with that, and then Mufasa gets this serious look on his face like, I'm gonna put that in a workout, you know, like, ugh.
Awesome. I was going to say, unfortunately, I was not blessed with filters. And so, and that's in most of my life. And so when ideas come to my head or jokes come to my head, it's automatically coming out.
Yeah. I love it. It's good. We need that. Talk to me about, you know, so you had some relationships before F3 and you kind of mentioned Limu, and a lot of times we see those existing relationships get stronger. I'm curious what your experience has been. Have you noticed any change with your relationships that were maybe already existing and now have F3 as an added component?
Yeah. I mean, to your point about trust and your F3 guys, I think that really strengthens the relationships that you already have coming into. So Limu and I, and we've known each other for, gosh, 15 years or so, worked together, for a lot of that. And then there's times in between where we didn't work together. but it was more of a text or a phone call every now and then, or an email. This really gave us an excuse to have some FaceTime that we hadn't, you know, not necessarily weren't avoiding from each other. It was just, you know, life happens and we, you know, you've got family, I've got family, I've got volleyball, you've got softball, you know, those things come up. Mm-hmm. And so the best part of F3 for Limu and I, and even Rowdy for that matter, like I said, we were just kind of more of acquaintances, but now, I mean, you just feel like you can, I can call Limu if I need something. I can call Rowdy if I need something. And I trust that they are going to respond, and they're going to respond to help me with whatever that need is. And I think that's kind of the beauty of F3 and that trust that we build. And to your point of Flying V, I mean, that resonates because it's real. I mean, you truly feel that way. You would trust these guys.
Yeah. Well, and that's so special having those relationships. You know, I think a lot of us have, you know, like your male friendships in high school and college, right? At least for me, are all centered around partying and drinking, and not so much, you know, around having each other's back, you know, even though, you know, there were a few fights where I had some friends have my back, but still, you know, you, like if you really were going through something, right, it's like, will those people still be there or not?
And right.
You know, having that
confidence. Yeah, I think as guys, we probably just move on. So, you know, my best friends from high school, well, I love them dearly. I would never think to reach out to them, ask them for help on anything, moving or anything, just because it's been so long since we've used each other like that. You know, I think it, and I can only speak for guys, right? Because I am one. But you know, most of our relationships are on a group text with, did you watch the game last night? Did you see this last night? You know, good job. I saw this about your kids last night. You know, I don't call it superficial. I just call it, that's just how life is. But man, you start digging into F3 and meeting these dudes, and you start seeing the same guy at the same workouts week in and week out. Man, there's just something there that you just know pretty quickly. That's a dude. That's a bro. And that guy's got you if you need it. That's pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Hey, absolutely. Have you, one of the other things I like to ask about is like, Shield Lock. Have you formed a formal Shield Lock, or you feel like you kind of, it sounds like you kind of have one, but maybe you're not calling it that, or I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that, I'm pretty bad about, and I own this about myself. I hope people who know me as Muffs or even as Tim Floro, I would do anything for anybody. I don't need a label, Shield Lock. You know, I can call Limu and he and I text all the time. I would consider him, that's my solid numero uno. And even in anything in life, if something comes up, he's usually the first person. He's the first one to know my wins, typically outside my wife. He's the first one to know my losses. So I would say that Limu is my Shield Lock. And we have, you know, we have others that he and I have brought into, I don't call it our circle cause it's just two dudes. And you know, bobsled's been bobsled, for instance, he's now in the wolf pack, and he's now become that other person that I would, you know, same thing. He knows my wins. He knows my losses because we just need those. We all need those people, whether you call it a Shield Lock or not. You just need those. You need your guys. You need your bros.
Yeah. I love that perspective. It is interesting, right? It's like we, same thing with like whetstone, right? Or like mentoring, right? It's some of these things happen naturally. They're super important, right? To have people that you can talk to about really anything that's going on, or, you know, I like how you say sharing your wins and losses, right? Having somebody to help you celebrate or help lift you back up when you need that. But yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. I think, formalizing it and having a label on it maybe is helpful for some guys. I have a hard time. It feels limiting at some times, right? Where you're like, I don't know, right? For this thing that in my life, I might reach out to this guy, right? You know, so yeah, I like that perspective.
Yeah, is what, it inclusive or is it exclusive?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, who was it? Rollbar at one point had kind of said, you know, when you're in the group, right? When you come to F3, you're kind of already a part of this really, really big shield lock, right? I mean, you toss something out on Slack, and if you need something, you're going to have 100 guys, right, that are reading that message, right, and going to offer you help. And so then just, you know, narrowing that down so you have a little higher level of accountability or a little bit more, you know, you can be a little bit more vulnerable with one guy than you can with 2,000, right?
That is true. That is very true and much needed for all of us.
I want to segue a little bit into the kind of the third F and would love to just kind of hear, you know, what's been your journey from a third F or faith perspective. Anything you would share there?
So my faith journey, I am at an arm wrestling match with my faith currently. And that means that's just personal to me. So, as we all have to go through, in life, which is an end, my mom passed away, you know, it's been, 6 years, 7 years now. And I think I've kind of been angry for a while for her having to leave me so early. And I make that personal. And so, up until that point, I have been a member of a church here in town, and I still love my church. I still call it my church. I still mow my church, every third week. And I still sign up for the snow removal team. And I still drive by my church every day. And I'm not avoiding going into church. Maybe I am. But it's just something that I don't, watching my mom and going through that experience with her, it really made me question a lot of things that I just, maybe I just haven't found a lot of answers, when it comes to that stuff. And I feel that void sometimes more than others. When you ask me about questions about my faith journey right now, I will talk to you about it because I think it's healthy to talk about. But at the same time, I'm just thinking to myself, I feel like such a jerk for having to say this, but I haven't gone to church for 5 years because I don't know why. You know, that's a weird thing to say out loud.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, being a part of F3 has opened me up to, you know, when you get to be the queue for the morning and all eyes and ears are on you to pray out. That is something that's emotional to me, and that's a privilege to me. I've never been one to publicly pray. I've never said a prayer in public. I've never had people listen to a prayer of mine. Usually I'm praying in the car because I'm at stoplight or I'm stressed out in traffic, and I'll say a quick prayer to just kind of zen. But being part of F3 and leading a workout and understanding that people I have ears that are giving attention to me in my prayer of how I want to uplift somebody, or maybe I just want to get something off of my chest. It's really deep to me. And that's healthy for me. It's a healthy outlet for me that I've never had before, or at least I've never taken advantage before. And I love that about F3.
Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision.
You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I appreciate you sharing about your mom. You know, I think what's so interesting to me is just like, you know, after, I don't know, we've interviewed 170 guys, right? And you just hear clearly the uniqueness in each of our journeys, you know, not just with a fitness and fellowship, but also with this faith piece. And I do think for most of us, if not all, there are these like ups and downs, just like everything else, where you're, you know, maybe you grew up going to church and then maybe something happens or just life happens and you kind of drift. But you're still aware, right, that there's something there and trying to figure out what that relationship with Sky Q or a higher power looks like. You know, I think my hope would be that in F3, we're giving guys an ability or a safe space to kind of re-engage in that search or exploration. And I don't know if you felt like you've had opportunities to maybe get some of those answers or even it does sound like just the prayer piece has been helpful, which is really cool to hear.
It is really cool. And it's really cool when, you know, just being around the bros, mm-hmm. you know, it's not my prayer that's being said, it's somebody else's prayer. Those have been feeding to me, for my relationship with Sky Q. And, I wouldn't sit here and tell you I'm being fed enough by F3 from that reason, but I'm being fed to where I feel comfortable and good about talking about why I haven't been going to church lately, because I am being fed elsewhere now.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and you know, we just encourage you and even other guys to just share that journey. I think for whatever reason, we feel like we have to have the answers or like we, you know, have to have it figured out. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest mistakes we make, right? Cause we think we can't talk about it and then we don't. And then we go through sort of, you know, wondering or not, you know, exploring some of those things. So I definitely love to hear that you're, you know, just on this path. It sounds like, did you grow up going to church?
I didn't. So I have, I grew up with a single mom and two older brothers. So she had three boys to show how to become men on her own. And, we just never were churched. And you know, honestly, I started looking for church when I became a young adult. I just kind of always felt like there was something missing. And when I moved to Omaha, I started exploring different churches just because I didn't know what I was missing. But I knew there was a void. And so I was drawn to explore churches and kind of created a path of my own on where I felt most comfortable at. And then when I met my wife, you know, 18 years ago or so, it was natural for me to, she had been a lifelong member of her church and her family was heavily involved in that church. It was an easy transition for me to go from what I had been churching myself to joining her church mm-hmm. and becoming a member there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Other thing too, just kind of curious, you know, as you think about, you know, third F, sometimes we do like book studies, or I think the other thing that kind of comes up related to third F, it would be like some of our community service stuff, and would just be curious if you've had a chance to participate. I know life, you know, life being as busy as it is, I think it's hard sometimes to do all the things, but I'm curious if you've had any experience there with the F3 community service stuff or book studies.
I have not done any of the book studies. And just for no other, I mean, I wouldn't tell you it's because I don't have time. I'm at a different phase in my life. My wife came with two daughters, and so they're you know, they're my daughters, and they're older and they're mm-hmm. adults now, and so, you know, we're kidless, so I can't tell you it's not because I don't have time. For me, it's just not something that I devoted any interest in. No reason why. As far as community service, you know, I've done some of the blood bank drives, and then some of our Boy, as I'm thinking out loud here, now that you say that, I guess I probably haven't been overly active in the service projects, and that I don't know why. That is something that I'd like to get better at, because I feel like that's another part of me that I love helping others and serving others. I just don't take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, right? Because the first and second F sort of opportunities are, they're so maybe more, I don't know if abundant is the right word, but they're just, I don't know. I feel like that's where we start, right? And you kind of get going on that track, and then it's kind of like we need to, I don't know how we push guys a little bit more to get over that hump. But I think, you know, everybody's at a different phase, and I think that's the beautiful thing about F3 is we're putting out all these events, not expecting anyone to do them all, but just so that you know, based on what you have going on this week or in this season of life, you can engage with whatever, you know, sort of meets you where you're at. And I think that's my favorite thing. You know, some religious organizations or churches, right, will kind of push things on you, and we're just trying to give you opportunity, right, to kind of explore these different areas, which has been phenomenal.
I love what you just said, meet you where you're at. I think that's a great statement, and that's something that I carry in my professional life too, is to meet people where they're at, and understanding and recognizing what people have or can make available to. So if, you know, people like face-to-face meetings, then you go to their office. People are okay with a Teams call, mm-hmm. so then you send them a calendar invite. You know, they want to eat lunch, so you go meet them for lunch, or they'd rather have coffee, so you meet them for coffee. So understanding and meeting people where they're at, I think that's important. And that was a great statement that you just said, that because having all the opportunities that we have within F3, there's something for everybody, meeting you where you're at. Yeah. So I love that statement.
Yeah. Well, and not planned at all, but definitely a perfect segue to kind of talk through leadership and kind of the model of Coronado. And so we'd just love to hear kind of what was your experience like when you got that flag, and then talk us through kind of being a site Q at Coronado, and what was that like?
Yeah, what a blessing, right? Coronado, you know, it's a battle buddy site. Where the motto is, you know, to pick up the six, which is, again, I go back to the first Murph with Limu and cheap seats and teaching us really early about what that meant. That's everything that Coronado embodies. And so when Limu asked me if I wanted to co-lead with him, it didn't take long to say yes, of course, anything for him. But I think for that site, it was special because you don't understand what Coronado represents. It's a great spot for people who need to be introduced to F3 and not worry about sitting in their car for an hour in the garage wondering if they're going to be able to walk or not. Typically, that's not the Coronado way. I'd like it actually to think of it as kind of an introductory site to F3. Everybody should start there and get their F3 legs at Coronado. Because, you know, that's what it's for. I mean, you got guys who are injured who are coming back to slowly work their way back in. You've got brand new guys who have no idea what a side straddle hop is. And then you don't have those pressures of, how far are we going to run today? And that's typically not the Coronado mm-hmm. way. So, it's a special place for me. It's a Monday morning. Coming off of a weekend, sometimes you just want to sleep in on a Monday, but it's an accountability factor as well. So Coronado is a great place.
Heck yeah. Well, and what's so cool is we have this principle of being open to all men, I think where the Coronado idea came from was really this kind of questioning that are the current sites, living up to that principle? Do we really have options for every sort of fitness level of guy that's out there? And, you know, I think it was pretty easy to see that, no, we weren't, right? Not everybody wants to do a Murph on a Monday. Not everybody can do a Murph, right? And, you know, so just, it's been cool to see as we've added Coronado, now we have this whole sort of other wave of a new type of man that we're allowing to come in and, you know, start their journey, which has been so cool. Cause you see some of those guys that didn't think they could run, you know, a 5K, but they get into Coronado, they start rucking. And then before you know it, they're doing 5K, 10K. You know, I think we've had a few guys do half marathons this year that that was never on their radar. So you just, it's so cool to think of what you're empowering other guys to do.
That's the biggest part of F3 for me has been being inspired by others. You know, I'm not worried about inspiring others, but I do get inspired by others. And it can be, I can observe somebody who's overcoming a challenge because it's health. It can be anything. And I'm really inspired by their desire to get through it. Mm-hmm. You know, if that doesn't do it for you as a man and a cheerleader of men, man, that's a powerful moment and a powerful feeling too. And I'll tell people that, man, you inspired me today because I recognize you do this. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. It's cool. And I think it's just a good reminder again, that everybody's at a different sort of spot. Right. And that's okay. Right. And so it's just acknowledging where that other guy is at and then trying to pair them up with, you know, what they need to sort of meet them where they're at. And I love, you know, just watching, you know, kind of just being able to observe and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, like you said, some guy, people just overcome challenges. And I feel like we get to see that every morning, which is just, it's pretty cool. Cause you know, you don't always see that at work. Right. And I don't know, it's harder to see maybe out in the real world day to day, but we definitely get to see it every morning. Exactly. What do you feel like you learned or any advice that you would share with other site cues or maybe new guys? Is there, I do think you had a good idea there that maybe every guy should start, at Coronado, but what else would you share from your experience?
Yeah, I think, being comfortable being a cheerleader of men, it's an unnatural feeling for a lot of us for just because of life. It's just not who guys are. And, you know, as a leader, as a site leader, I think it was, Limu always did a really good job of making people feel welcome. And I would watch that and go and I would observe to what steps. So it was him making them feel like, hey, just a reminder, we don't expect you to know anything. This is going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal because you don't know the language. It's going to be brutal because you may be out of shape. But that's okay. And so I think the encouragement of and helping people understand that, you know, their own expectations are probably elevated higher than what everybody else is for them on that first workout. And then encouraging them for the second workout, I think is a big part too. We'll see you next week. How do we get you back next week? What's it going to take to get you to come back? You know, that was, I think, something incumbent on leadership to be better at is just, you know, make sure those guys feel welcome and make sure that they understand that. To the point we're meeting you where you are. And that's okay where you're at.
Yeah. I love the idea of just making sure we verbalize those things. Right. I mean, we can certainly take it for granted or assume like, you know, well, of course we don't expect you to know everything, but I think taking the time as a site cue to just verbalize that, say it out in the open so that, cause you know, I think you remind the new guy of that, but you also remind everybody else, right? Like, hey, we've got some new people here, you know? And so then I think it just creates that culture where like, oh yeah, you know, and that's just such a helpful reminder.
It's 5:15 in the morning, man. We're robots at that point.
Yeah, for sure. I do have to just, you know, thank you for your leadership and just for the conversation here today. You know, I think it's just so cool that, you know, every time I get a chance to talk to a guy, it's like, I don't know, it just speaks to me, just this whole idea of like being able to see where people are at, being able to learn from what people have been through or how they go through it. And definitely have just appreciated you and your perspective. And we got to get that exercise on the official, F3 Nation Exicon.
That's right.
That's the other thought that I would have in there, but, yeah, we'll do a little name-a-rama to kind of wrap us up here. And again, just appreciate you as a man, as a leader, friend, yeah, it's been great.
Likewise, man.
I'll start us off here. Brandon Fleaherty, 38, the plague.
Plague! Tim Floro, 45. Muffs.
When did you start doing the hand gesture?
Oh, brother, that was over the summer. Those guys were teasing me. Or I guess it's probably been since last fall. Yeah, it's probably been way too long. I don't know. This is bros being bros.
yeah. Does your M watch any of the videos? Has she seen that? Does she say anything?
No, she'd be embarrassed for me.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, if your wife and kids can't be embarrassed of you, I don't know if you're doing it right. You know, I think that
would be on my
end sometimes. Well, I appreciate you, brother.
That's awesome.
Have a good rest of your day.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you. You as well.